Well, my name is Emmanuel Jansen, and I'm from the church in San Diego, California. And I was invited to come and join this All-Canada College Conference. And when I was asked, I think I was asked something like, Emmanuel, do you have enough time to come out and be with us for our, help us with the All-Canada College Conference? And the truth be told is no, I didn't. But I'm in love with Jesus. And he's not that practical. In my heart, even though I didn't have time, was like, I have to go. Because I know my Lord Jesus was appearing here this weekend. And I didn't want to miss him. And so on the brother's invitation, I came and I shared a little bit with the college students, on Christ's deep longing and heart's desire. And this weekend, what I witnessed was our dear Lord Jesus transfusing his deep longing and heart's desire into the next generation of young people who really represent the future of the Lord's recovery and his testimony here throughout Canada. And I was just humbled. I can't tell you how unworthy and small I feel, but also honored. One of the first times, besides my precious hospitality, I came here and I joined some serving ones, and they had been in this, you know, week-long blending trip. And, you know, it's not so easy to all the services, all the coordination, all the hospitality. But I just saw a group of people who love their Lord. Amen. And they know their God. Amen. And they were showing strength. Oh, they were on the front lines of this warfare to gain the young ones for the Lord's recovery. Amen. And, I joined in a little bit more fresh, like, hey, guys. And right away, I'm like, wow, Lord, I'm in his holy presence. And I just want to encourage you, all you saints who've been serving to make this happen, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It is not in vain. And this will impact the universe. Because everything that's being done in the Lord's recovery is for the preparation of the bride and will hasten the coming wedding day. We're not playing in the Lord's recovery. This isn't let's play church. Let's go to church on Sunday. No, we've caught a vision of God's deep longing and heart's desire. And we are the ones who have chosen to respond to that heart's desire. Lord, I know I'm not that much, but here I am. Amen. You know, the church in Philadelphia, the recovered church, they had a little power, right? They just had a little power. And Brother Lee's really sweet there. He says, that means they did the best with what they had. Amen. Well, when we all do the best with what we have, the Lord comes back sooner. Amen. Okay, so I don't want to give a review of the message. I heard some brothers saying that. So there's some other younger brothers that might do that, or maybe not. I don't know. We'll just follow the Lord. But I want to share my testimony with a twofold burden. One to the older saints with a spirit of gratitude and encouragement. And then another burden towards the young ones with hopefully a realization to you all that you're being called by the Lord. It's not an accident. There's only a certain number of people who were on this trip and in this conference. And God has chosen you. And he's calling you. This calling has been going out even since eternity. But that it's your turn to respond. So I'll get to that burden as well. What happened to me in my youth, college age, just like you one day. My hair was a little crazier, didn't shave as often. I'm from San Diego. I wore shorts. I don't know if they wear those here in Montreal, but it's a little colder sometimes, right? In summer. I remember one summer between junior high and high school. Oh, are the young people here? Well, anyway. Oh, sorry. Anyway. Sorry, Saints. You'll have to shepherd your young people. But I didn't wear my shirt the whole summer because I was just at the beach. I was just playing around. And I had my flip-flops because the sand's hot, you know, and my shorts. And, you know, I'm just this typical young guy lost in the world. But I had received the Lord, but I did not know him. I did not know his purpose. But in the Lord's timing, in my college years, he stirred up the vanity of human life. He stirred up that sense of there must be something more. And I wasn't like a bum anymore. I was working hard. I was getting a good education. I had a good GPA. College students, you still need to study. You know? Oh, I don't know. I don't want to tell you my GPA. It'll sound like I was boasting, but I got 1 B+ in college. The rest was above that. So, anyway. You know, I was serious about. I had plans. I had something to live for, and then the Lord started blowing on it. You know, he just started exposing it. So you get that career, and then what? Maybe a wife. Yeah. All the sisters say, "Amen." Okay. Maybe some kids, but then what? You know? And I was like, well, I'll definitely buy a nice house by the beach. And then what? And I was like, oh man, I don't know. I started running out of things. And then it all ended in the tomb. You know, it all ended in my death, my finite human existence. And everything I was working hard for would end up being nothing because I don't get to keep any of it. Is all over. And that really impacted me. And so I knew something about Christ, and I knew something about this book called the Bible. And I was an assistant manager at a hotel at the time. And so I went and I took out a Gideon Bible from one of the hotel rooms. I just borrowed it. You know, I did. I put it back when I was done. And they're there for that, right? And I started reading a book of Job, and I was like, oh, man, Job, that's a rough life. Some of you should read it. It's a little long in the middle, but anyway. By the end, God appears to Job. And there was something Job said, like, I know nothing can, you know, restrain you from accomplishing your purpose. And I was like, God has a purpose? I mean, I just thought it was so arbitrary. Some people go to heaven, some people go to hell. And I don't know why he picked me and why I'm going there and why he didn't pick him and why he's going there. But all of a sudden, God had a purpose. And I didn't start in the beginning of the Bible or the end. It was right in the middle somewhere. So I'm like, maybe it's somewhere else in the Bible, you know? And, you know, in this conference, we learned about Rhema, right? That's Logos becoming Rhema. And let me tell you something. When you're praying to the Lord and you don't hear him talking to you back, it seems kind of like, you know, like you're talking to the air. The relationship isn't so real. But when you receive even one word from the Lord, you will never be the same. Because now you came face to face with God. You know, Job came face to face with God. He received many words from God. And at the end, he's like, oh, I abhor myself. I repent in dust and ashes. But before he said that, he said, I had heard about you from the hearing of the ears, but now my eye has seen you. And I'm reading this and experiencing it at the same time. Was it Logos? Was it Rhema, Peter? Amen. It's part one of the message. Sorry, saints, if you weren't there. Anyway, so I got hungry for the Word. I'd come to the Word expecting to see Jesus. Oh, can I borrow someone's big Bible? Does someone have a Bible? Oh, yeah, right here. This is good. Okay. So, you know, for most people, when they see this book, they see a religious book, right? Maybe in a theological school. It's there among many other religious books. But when I would pick up my Bible, I'd be like, I was expecting to see God. I don't know, when you hold your Bible, young people, do you have this expectation, like, I'm going to come face to face with my dear Lord Jesus? And he's going to say something to me? And it's going to be exactly what I need to hear? You know, he says he sustains the weary with a word. You know, all you need is one word. Maybe it takes a half hour in your morning time, but you get one word from the Lord, straight from his mouth, straight into your spirit, and you're just revived. And I wasn't in the church life yet. I didn't know, but the Lord was recovering me. I started seeing a vision of his supreme preciousness. But it was very limited. It was very limited. But it was enough. I'm telling you. Many Christians live off very little. Very little. But it takes them quite a ways. But then I read the book of Ephesians. And, you know, I didn't have the words, but I saw something of the body, of God's purpose, and my lack, because it was just me and the Lord. And I said, Lord Jesus, make me an active member of the body of Christ. That same week, I met this sister on campus who was a friend of a friend. She invited me to a home meeting. I came to my first home meeting in the local church. And right there, I mean, anyway, these people were crazy. Crazy lovers of Jesus. Uninhibited. You know, maybe like if you go see a hockey game here, people are like, yeah! Well, these people are like, hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Jesus, I love you! And I was there like, whoa, you know? Oh, but I'd gotten crazy at, in the U.S., it's American football. I'd gotten crazy a few times, and I was like, wow. You know, at first I was like, these people are crazy. You know? And then I was like, well, maybe I'm the abnormal one. I get crazy about a little ball going this way and then going that way. It always ends about the same in this thing called an end zone, you know? And that's it. It goes back and forth, back and forth. People are fighting to go back and forth. And I was like, why do I get so crazy about that? But here, these people are crazy about the one I love the most, but they know how to express it. They know how to enjoy him. And I'm here bound and frozen. And I left that day. Saints, I left that day walking out the door going, Lord Jesus, I remember walking through the threshold of the door, Lord Jesus, my prayer to him, Lord Jesus, teach me to enjoy you the way these people do. And you know what was the content of that time? Not just the exercise of the Spirit, but they had some life studies. This ministry that's a betrothing ministry. Now I know why. I mean, back then I didn't know why they were so crazy. But they were reading this ministry that opened up the Word of God and showed them a vision of Christ in his supreme preciousness. That's why they were crazy. It's not because they were trying to be something or do something. It wasn't a technique or a method. They were just in love with the Lord. And those first messages was one about a life study on the woman at the well. You know, she's a sinner. You know that life study? And there the ministry really clearly says her problem wasn't sin, is that she was thirsty. And all those sins, five husbands, the one you're with is not your own, all those sins were just trying to hurt her, trying to satisfy that thirst. Oh, that explained my whole life. Do you have a problem with sin? No, you don't. You're just thirsty. You just need to drink the Lord. You just need to drink the life-giving Spirit. You'll, when He satisfies your thirst, sin is no more. I mean, anyway, that was my first meeting. And I'm like, whoa. And then the next one was like on eating the Lord. And I have a human spirit to receive Him into my being. And all those times I was fed up, angry. Well, anyway, that's my wife. I have a little bit of a temper. It's because I'm just hungry. Have you ever been, they call it hangry? Hangry? That's real. You know, that sisters who are married, if you're going to ask something from your husband, feed him first and then ask. Oh, you have all these problems, the kids, this and that. Feed him first and then share all your problems. Then dump on him. You know, but he'll be happy. He'll be able to contact the Lord better. Anyway, shepherd your husbands. Or if you don't, that's okay. That's okay. No, 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 you don't have to. But just saying, it helps. And anyway, that was my introduction to the ministry and the truth. And I just started loving this little, you know, the one I thought I knew, I hardly knew anything. I mean, I was in love with him a very little. But these things, they had so much more through this rich ministry. Oh, and so I started coming. Of course I came back. You know, I had finals and then winter break. And I told the saints, okay, I'll see you in a month. They didn't believe me. They thought they scared me. You know, because I looked scared. I can't hide, I'm 6'5", or 196 centimeters, okay, for those here that do that, okay. Sorry. And so I just came back and I started enjoying with, you know, he answered my prayer. He brought me to a local church and I started to function as a normal member of the body of Christ with all the other members. I'm not special. Actually, my testimony is not special. All of us have experienced this to a certain degree. We just got attracted by the Lord. But what I didn't expect, this was a shocker. This was a shocker. What I didn't expect is that this Christ that I enjoyed, he had a heart's desire and a deep longing for his bride. I didn't expect that. I thought he was just amazing. I mean, he's my redeemer. He's the life-giving spirit. You know, he's the head of the body. A lot of things. But for him to be my husband and me to be his wife, for him to be my beloved and me to be his lover, that was just romantic. And I didn't expect that. What makes his heart beat is the church as his bride. That longing, that aching in his heart. Oh, my I want to marry her. I didn't expect that. But the more I spent time with him in the church and going to trainings and so on, meeting after meeting, personal time after personal time with the Lord, was that all of a sudden, his heart, and it's still happening, but he's transfusing his own desire into mine. Saints, are you experiencing that? What wakes you up? What do you long for? You just have a heart to be a part of the preparation of the bride of Christ. That means his heart has gotten into you. His deep longing has become yours. And yeah, we get busy with human life, but something is still attracting us out of all those things. And I really appreciate the Lord for that. So I went to this college conference. This was a real moment in my life. I was a few months in the church life, and it was called, I think, a call to end this age. And they touched this matter of the Lord gaining his overcomers, which we found out last night, right? They're normal Christians. Who what? Who love the Lord, right? Who live Christ, right? Deny themselves. Reject everything that's not of the Lord and choose to live Christ, right? And they're also ones who what? Spend time in the Word and pray, read God's Word, right? And who drink the Spirit and flow the Spirit. Very normal, you know. This is a normal believer, right? Wow. Anyway. So I heard this calling. God needs overcomers. And the message they gave me, guess what it was on? The preparation of the bride. And for me, in my background, God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and he is. And he determines when he comes back, and you be a good person, do your best. If you mess up, just try harder. And eventually, God will come back, and things will change. And you can ask him all those questions you ever wanted to ask him, you know. And then, yeah, play some golden golf, right? Yeah. Whatever it is. Heaven was described to me once. I almost left because it's so ridiculous. But the New Jerusalem, this physical city, that's how it was described to me, as a spaceship that was landing on earth and docking on the pyramids in Egypt. And it would be a great place to live. And I was like, this guy's nuts, you know? Sorry. That's an aside. If you're there last night, you realize the New Jerusalem is just a marriage between God and man. There's no lamb on the throne, right? Bah! There's no physical, woolly, cute lamb on the throne. It's Jesus, the God-man, the redeeming God. He's on the throne. Okay, I'm a little distracted. Oh, Lord. Okay. So, but I had this thought that God is doing it all. And so when I read Ephesians 5:26, 25 through 27, it made so much sense to me. It starts out with, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So Christ is doing something. What is he doing? Loving the church. How is he showing it? He gave himself up for her, right? And then 26, that he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the word. So who's doing what there? He is, right? That what? He might sanctify her, and that he would be the one cleansing her by the washing of the water of the word. And then in 27, I won't say the whole thing, but he says that he might present the church to himself glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish, right? That might be it, yeah. I love those verses, by the way. You know, college students, I hope you could all just speak those verses. Just pray, read them until they become a part of you. Because yes, in God's economy, he does it all. Don't you agree, saints? Isn't Christ the one who does it all? What can you add to his operation? Nothing, but yes, our cooperation. That's it, right? Our cooperation, our voluntary consecration. And they gave me this verse, and this is, up to there, I was no problem. Religious concept, fit, good. My Bible makes sense, you know? But then they read to me Revelation 19:7. And it says there that the marriage of the Lamb has come. Saints, there will be a wedding day. The marriage of the Lamb has come. And the wife has made herself ready. Whoa, 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 whoa. Who's doing what? I thought it was God. I thought it was Christ Jesus. I remember the like in my brain. It was just like, what? The wife has made herself ready. And then it was really sweet because his brother just really simply said, you know, all that God is in Christ. Christ is the Spirit, and the Spirit is consolidated in the Word of God. But if you don't open the Word, none of that gets into you. The consummated Spirit of the process trying God is in the Word with all His unsearchable riches. But if I don't read it, and if I don't pray it in, it stays here, and I stay the same. And so I'm not ready for the Lord's coming. College students, if you don't spend that time with the Lord, even all the saints, all of us here, no one's excluded. If we don't spend that time with the Lord, we won't be cooperating with Him to prepare His bride for His coming. And in 1907, as we heard, that was the overcomers. All the Christians generally will be prepared in Revelation 21, 22. But the overcomers are those who cooperate in this age to prepare His bride. And then after that, the Lord gave me one more verse, and this sealed the deal. This sealed the deal. It was 2 Peter 3:12. Oh, please check that. 2 Peter 3:12. But it says, expecting and hastening the coming of the day of God. And right before that, fire is going to burn up everything that's physical and material. Everything that's not eternal gets consumed. But only that, right? Only that is Christ worked into us will make it in that day. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And that really impressed me. That we can expect it, but more so, hasten it. Saints, we can quicken it. With our cooperation, we can quicken the day of God. Now that is a concept breaker too. But there it is in the Word. What are you going to do with it? Accept it or reject it? Well, as a college student, maybe now college students, you see an older guy in a suit. You're like, I don't know about that. But as a college student, I said, I accept this Word in faith. I have a spirit of faith. I'm taking it in. And I give myself to You, Lord Jesus, to be one with You, to prepare Your bride. And thank You, Lord Jesus, for all the saints You put me with to carry this out practically. Because I know I can't do it alone. And the call is not to be done alone. And so that's my testimony. And so I'm here in this conference, okay? And I'm watching the Lord. So I'm going to get to my burden. I'm watching the Lord now, here, still calling. And dear older saints, community saints, the church in Montreal, the churches in Canada, who are caring for all these younger ones, I hope we realize that our cooperation with the Lord today is in the stage of intensification. That our work with the Lord, out of our first love to the Lord, is not just to gain some increase for the church, though it is. It's not just so that we live a holy life, though it is. But much more, our commission is to produce overcomers. The real Jesus lovers. Gain the young people that they would become today's age turners. And even today's age enders. So, this conference, this blending trip, is not a small matter. I don't know how many interactions you older saints had with the Lord. to open your home. I know it's not easy. I have kids. I have a home. To serve in so many ways to make this happen. But your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And college students, cover your ears a little bit. Okay, they sometimes they don't look so promising. you didn't cover your ears. Oh. Don't be offended. I love you. One sister, she told me, I had gone to the training. I came back. I started serving about a year into my service. She walked up to me and she said, "Manny, I have to confess something to you." I'm like, "What? You never did anything to me." She's like, "When I first saw you coming to the church life, I said, he won't make it 3 months." I was like, "Oh, well." I didn't know if I'd make my first meeting. And so, don't worry, sister, I'm not offended, you know. So, saints who are pouring out, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You realize, I hope we all realize that we got to entertain. Entertain is not the best word. We got to provide an atmosphere to cherish and nourish and nurture the next generation of overcomers. They're in this room. College students, you probably look at each other and go, "Well, you know, I don't know about that. Come on." But I know. I know. Because that calling, you hear it. What got you here? Yeah, maybe there was some external pressure from so-and-so or so-and-so. But something within has been struggling. Struggling means God is operating. And that the law of sin in you is struggling. It always fights against God. But it means that God is operating. And if you just open to him a little bit, he will love you till there's no more struggle. Don't worry about it. Anyway. So, saints who are older, and I hope we all realize this responsibility. We won't be before the Lord and going, "Oh, look, I overcame." That's not what pleases him. "Look, Jesus, I lived a good life. I read my Bible. I opened my home. I did everything that was asked of me." No, our God is a businessman, and he wants to see a reproduction of talent, of gold, in all these young ones. And when we produce overcomers, now we're cooperating with the Lord. Because that's what he wants. He wants all that you're investing to produce something more, even 100-fold. Anyway, but if you have one talent and you get one, wow, praise the Lord. We're here to produce overcomers, those who love the Lord. And then college students, now I come to you. College students, it's your turn. When I was young, I heard that calling, clear as a bell. And I had a choice to make. I did. I had a choice. You have a choice to make. How will you respond to his calling? You know, let me tell you, when you see his supreme preciousness and you experience, and like we heard in this conference, we let the Lord love us. When we experience his love toward us, especially through our time with him in the Word, face to face, heart to heart, right? You will hear his calling. His heart's desire will just get into you. It's not a calling from heaven. It's just in you. It's just pushing you. And now you have a choice. How will you respond to that call? I was crazy. I'm a little crazy in love, okay, with Jesus. But I was like, Lord, my generation's the one to bring you back. That was my choice. Has it worked out? In one sense, no. We're still here. Oh, man. But I gave it my all. Preached the gospel, joined the Lord, read the ministry, went to the training. I just couldn't help myself, you know? Nothing else seemed valuable at all. It's your turn. It's your turn. I remember praying in the prayer meeting with the other college student companions I had, and we just prayed for our campus, prayed for our campus. Lord, gain us. We're here. We're here to prepare your bride. We prayed like that. Lord, make us the generation that brings you back. Amen. And I don't care what anyone says. Maybe someone would say, it'll be the next generation. Just cool off. Take care of your future. You know, some people talk like that. Well, guess what? They probably... I won't say that. It's too much. I won't say that. Sorry. But I knew for a fact, as much as I could, it wasn't going to be me to miss a life of preparing his bride for his satisfaction. Not me. What cause will you give yourself to, you young people? Everyone wants a cause. There is no greater cause in the universe, and more so, you haven't been designed to fulfill any other purpose. So whatever you give yourself to, you will not be happy. You know, Brother Gordon, right? We were fellowshipping a little bit. There's only one thing to give ourselves to, right? And that's to bring the Lord back. Students, it's your turn. And everyone here is supporting you. All the churches in Canada, over the whole earth, are supporting you. I mean, we're here. I mean, I don't know what it took to get this thing to happen, but it was a lot of work. What is it? It's just a big nest. And the Lord comes as a spirit and broods over you, and he starts producing overcomers. We just want to see you all overcome. To love the Lord in a very simple way. Okay, I should say one thing. Having said all this, I know there could be a sense of expectation. Oh no, I'm going to fail the saints. Because I've gotten there before. You know, you go there with your mind. But Emmanuel, you don't know me. I don't want to fail this, you know. I don't want to let everybody down. I don't want to let everybody down. Has anyone ever had that feeling? Young people, be honest. I'm not going to make the standard. I'm going to let everybody down. I'm going to let the Lord down. Right, anyone? Raise your hand and be honest. Whoa. Good. It's not just me. For a second there, I thought I was weird. Okay. We all feel that way? Okay. But that's because we put our eyes on ourselves. And we'll always feel that way when we look at ourselves. But when we look away to Jesus, all of a sudden we're like, we can do this. When we look at the Christ in one another and not the other stuff, we go, yeah, we can prepare the bride. Yes, we can love the Lord. Yes, we can bring the Lord back quickly. And so, I hope none of you college students go home without at least opening up to the Lord in a little way, in a simple way. To just love him, let him love you, and talk to him. He is calling you, without a doubt. Say, Lord, you're calling me. Start there. Lord Jesus, you're calling me. And then talk to him about what your response will be. Some of you are probably very open to that calling. And I encourage you, just make the choice. I choose to cooperate. I choose to love you and to give you my time and give you the first place. You just make that choice. Don't trust in your willpower. And don't worry about failing. Forget all that. He will finish what he has begun. Okay.
To all the college students, if after hearing this word and in this conference at any point the Lord touched you, do not neglect his speaking to you. You must spend the time to respond. One brother once shared with me, if when the Lord speaks to us, but we don't take it very seriously, how could the Lord continue to speak to us? I believe the Lord has spoken to us multiple times. Let's respond. Amen. So I hope that you would really set aside a time. Maybe it's just on the way back. Many of you are flying back. On the plane, just respond to the Lord. I really hope that we could have many conversations with the Lord. It's wonderful. Amen. So I'll give a brief review. Saints, my name is David Kim. I serve with the team in Vancouver. Thank you so much for having us. Thank you so much for praying for us. Your labor was not in vain. And it will continue to not be in vain. Praise the Lord. How about all the college students? We say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. So I'll give a brief review of these four messages, but actually, it's not going to be complete because I just want to open the door for all the college students to share, right, you know, after this. After me, Peter will give a brief the fellowship concerning the blending trip. And then it will be open up to all of us. Let's read. How about all the college students, let's stand up and read the conference title together. Christ's deep longing and good pleasure. Amen. So in the first message, it was the divine romance. You know, I feel like I was one of the ones that got the most help these 2 weeks. Nothing but love. Nothing. Nothing but love can keep us in a proper relationship with our Lord Jesus. Not being religious, not trying to do things for him, not being a good person, not trying harder, but nothing but love.
Amen.
If we don't have the view of love, nothing we do will keep us in this relationship. You know, Brother Dick Taylor would always say, this organic union is a romantic union. The divine dispensing, do we know where that happens? It happens in the divine romance. Where can we be sanctified and separated and filled with the Lord? It's by loving Him. It's in the divine romance. I appreciated it in the first message, there were a few questions asked. Do we love the Lord Jesus? Do we want our love relationship with the Lord to be upgraded? Then we all said, amen. Have we seen the divine romance in the Bible? Right. And even some characteristics of being in love. Right. There are a lot of testimonies. You're beside yourself. You're happy. Nothing can keep you down. Right? Even when something negative happens, you don't realize it's negative. You're irrational. You're a little bit impractical. You're crazy. And another strong indicator is that time flies. When we're in love, time goes by. We can't tell. Right? Oh, Lord Jesus. And then we saw in the Song of Songs, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Draw me. Right? His drawing power is our pursuing power. Oh, Lord Jesus. It's not that we have the love in ourselves, but he is the one unveiling his beauty, constraining us. In the second message, we saw, so you can summarize the first message with this one word, love. And then the application is to call on his name, right? His name is as ointment poured forth. The second, you can summarize it with the word life. And the title of that message was A Portrait of Christ and the Church. Praise the Lord for a portrait. I appreciated a sister shared. She went to the art museum, and at first she saw this art picture, and I related to this very much because I don't appreciate art. And she said, the more the tour guide it would describe the history and the features of this portrait, the more her appreciation began to rise up. I think this weekend we saw and we came to appreciate so much more the portrait of Christ and the church. Adam and Eve. But he called their name Adam. And Eve was produced out of the bone, the rib of Adam. She was a pure product out of Adam. There was nothing but Adam and Eve. There's nothing but Christ in the church. The church is a pure product out of Christ. The church is Christ. When we see one another, we need to look at the Christ. Wow. This should change our life. This should change our view. Praise the Lord. In the third message, you can sum up this as with a word. Word. Christ loves and sanctifies the church. And the application is to pray read. Saints, oh, I just love the testimony. We need to come to the Word of God, the Logos, and turn it into Rhema. His personal, intimate, direct speaking to us. But how does that happen? It's when we come in a loving relationship. We come and we're expecting and hopeful, Lord, I'm going to meet you. You're going to speak a word to me. We pray, read the word. That just means to converse with the Lord. Using the word of the Bible, the Logos becomes Rhema. And the Rhema energizes us, enlivens us, encourages us. Just one word from the Lord. And finally, in the last message, you can sum it up with the word Spirit. Right? The title was The Spirit and the Bride. Amen. And here the application is drink and flow. Drink and flow. Drink the Spirit. Become one with the Spirit. And flow the Spirit. I appreciate it here. You know, Brother David gave us a marvelous, I mean, just the rest of our lives, we'll have to get into that diagram. In Genesis, the Lord had his longing, his heart's desire, his loneliness, right? We sympathize. But in Revelation, he had the fulfillment of his desire. The New Jerusalem. The mingling of God and man. Consummated. the ultimate manifestation. It's not a physical building. Someone actually told me if that were a physical building, it would change the axis of the earth. It's not a physical building. It's the ultimate in mingling of God and man. It's the marriage of the Lamb and the bride. It's the universal couple coming together. And we become one. It says the Spirit and the bride say, come. Meaning that the Spirit and the bride have become one. Not only joined, not only mingled, but incorporated. The same person. The same mind, emotion, will. The match and the counterpart. And they're calling the sinners as one. Come! And they're saying, come, Lord Jesus! They're ushering, and the Lord is going to come back for His bride! Why else would He come back? He's coming back for His bride. Praise the Lord! Lord Jesus, we love You! We give ourselves for this purpose! There's nothing else worth giving our lives for! We love You, Lord!
Amen. We love You, Lord Jesus. There's nothing else that's worth our life to give Him for. I'd just like to echo our brother's sharing. May we be this generation that will respond to this call to prepare as a bride, to enter into this eternal marriage. Actually, this morning, when I was before the Lord considering, I feel this is absolutely a sovereignty of the Lord that our blending trip will end on this conference with this particular topic. Oftentimes, when we emphasize blending trip, well, it is regarding the blending of the body. But, of course, it is. But this morning, as I was before the Lord gave me one verse, which is already shared here, Revelation 21:2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I feel like the Lord is speaking to me. This trip is a bride preparing trip. Amen. The Lord wants to go further. Not only to blend away all our differences, but He wants to beautify us. Amen. He wants to take away all our wrinkles and all our spots. In a blending like this, actually, one of my highlights is in a certain one's time when we pray read Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Standing firm in one spirit with one soul, striving together along with the faith of the gospel. And at that moment, I realized, yes, we're one in the spirit. But we have different souls. And we need to strive. Strive to have the one soul. Amen. You know, like Emmanuel was saying, you know, I don't know how much work is put into this blending trip. It's a lot of work. And I have to confess, in the middle of it, I think both Dennis and I, at certain point, we kind of regret. But we realized at the same time, it is the Lord doing it. It is the Lord heading us up. So on the one hand, we realize we have so many differences. But here, the Lord wants to put us all together. The Lord wants to wash us with His word. Through the washing of the water in the word. Throughout this whole time, here we have 120 plus students from 19 localities across Canada. And in terms of the geography, it's a massive land. Canada's always facing with large land, but not too many people. That allows the enemy to come in easily. But that's always my burden. We want to stand together. Yeah. Strive together. Yeah. Shame to the enemy. Yeah. The whole Canada can be blended as one. And we can be beautified as the bride of Christ. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Amen. I hope we can produce a generation. Amen. There's no feeling of differences. There's no feeling of west and the east. There's no feeling of localities. We want to make the enemy know that we want to tell the enemy we are distinct but not separated. There is only one body in the universe. And he wants this to be expressed in Canada and even in the entire North America. Lampstand all over the places stand as one as the unique body of Christ. So praise the Lord for what he's doing. May we continue with such a burden in all of our localities. Coming to the Word personally, privately, spiritually. But come together with all the saints, wash one another's feet, to be built up as one body. And to be beautified as the bride of Christ. To make her, the bride has made herself ready to adorn for her husband, that the Lord can come back to end this age. Amen. And I will, amen.